verse 11. Verse 11, he said, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her," that is Rebekah, "the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy." The Apostle Paul is quoting from the book of Exodus when our Lord answered Moses. Moses said, "Show me thy glory." And he said, you're not able to see the full glory and majesty. He said, "I'll put you in a cleft of the rock, and I'll pass by and I'll let you see my hinder parts." God made that solemn declaration, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." And this 18th verse is part of the statement that he made to Moses of old. Therefore hath God, Paul says, mercy on whom he will have mercy. Sovereignty of the grace of God, the sovereignty of the mercy of God, cometh from the hand of a sovereign God. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who argues with God? Who dares call into question God? Who disputes with God? Who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show His wrath, to make known, endured, to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted or made up to destruction, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory. Verse 20. O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who calls God into account? Who disputes with God? Who questions God? Who are you? Well, let me begin by saying that the sovereignty of God in dispensing His grace to whom He pleaseth is a bone of contention now, has been, in the past, is now, in the present, and will be in the future. The sovereignty of God is the point of man's rebellion. Unawakened people, men who are in out and out rebellion against God, who have self-righteous hearts, stubborn wills, call into question the ways of God with man. And what that amounts to is replying against God. Men that will put conditions on God. If you do this, then God is obligated to do something else. That's the bone of contention. That's where you get in trouble. You can talk all day long about Jesus, but when you start talking about the sovereignty of God, then men will reply against God. It can't be that way. How many times in my lifetime have I heard, "My God is not like that"? Does not God give every man a chance? God can't do that. I won't let Him. You think you know everything. Well, they call into question the ways of God with man. How God deals with man. They wind up disputing with God as though He did not have a right to do with His own as it pleases Him. Dispute with God and question God as though he did not have the right to do with those that he formed as it pleases him. Just because man does what he wants to, he thinks then he has the power and the authority to make God do as he does. But that's not so. As though he did not have a right to do with his own what he will, and bestow his favors upon those that he pleases to bestow his favors on. Over in the book of Genesis, in the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse, the devil, who's the father of lies, remember our Lord said, ye are of your father, you're a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. And you're like unto your father, the father of lies. Over here in this 3rd chapter of the book of Genesis, the father of lies, the originator of lies, the chief enemy of God and man, this father of lies said to Adam and Eve, woman said unto the serpent, in that 2nd verse, the serpent is the father of lies who beguiled Adam and Eve, deceived them, lied to them. Woman said to the serpent, said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. He begins in the first verse by saying, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the father of lies, who hath already created doubt in the mind of this woman, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. She said that God had said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. He said, well, now that will not take place. The serpent said, ye shall not surely die. Now, God will not go to that extreme. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. Now the only problem with that is Adam and Eve believed it. They believed the devil's lie when he said, ye shall be as gods. If you eat of that tree, reason he doesn't want you to eat of it, the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, that you'll be God. You'll be like God. And they believed that. And that plunged them into destruction as well as all that they represented. Our nature and depravity comes because Adam and Eve believed the devil's lie. Ye shall be gods, knowing good and evil. They believed him. There's a poet one time said, and he said it in a sarcastic way, to the repliers and questioners and disputers with God. He said, snatch from his hand the balance and the rod. Rejudge his justice. Be God of God. Paul here puts a question to them in this text that I read to you. Who art thou that repliest against God? I was talking recently to a fellow. We was having a casual conversation regard to the Bible, and he said some things that I agreed with. But when I said some things, he didn't agree with me. He got upset. He began to tell me about what the Bible had to say concerning certain things. And so he told me, he said, do you marry people who are living with one another? If a fella came to you and said, well, I want you to marry me, and he told you that he was living with a woman out there and now he thought it was time to get married, would you marry him? And well, I said I'd have to consider the whole thing, who they were and if I was able to be there at the time or be useful at the time that they wanted me to be. I don't know. I'd have to judge each case that came before me. But if you're asking me, have I married people who were living together, I'd have to tell you yes. Well, he said, that's not right. You're not supposed to marry them. They're living in adultery. And I said, well, I know that. Well, he said, you know that the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. And I said, I know that too. But I said, the Bible also said thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. And he said, yeah, it says that. Well, he said, I asked my preacher, would you marry so-and-so? My neighbor up here is living with this woman and he wants to get married. Would you marry him? And my preacher said, no, I won't marry one who's living in adultery. Well, I said, would you rather for him to continue living in adultery? Would you rather that he just continued to do that? Or would you attempt to at least make it legal in his own eyes? Well, he said, you just don't know the law. He said, what you're talking about is the law of men. He said, you don't know the law of God. One thing led to another, and I said, well, let me tell you this then. I said, there's only three licensed people in the whole wide world that is qualified to marry people. And I said, that's the captain of the ship or the judge or a minister of the gospel. And I said, every minister of the gospel must become a servant of the state in order to be qualified to marry anybody. Well, he wanted to know what I meant by that, and I said, well, I must go to the courthouse and apply for a license to perform the marriage ceremony. And I must give my bond. Someone must go my bond. And when that takes place, then I'm qualified. And I said, a man and a woman, if they want to get married, they've got to go to the courthouse and get a license to do so. They've got to, in our state, I think they have to have a blood test. They got to have a blood test. And they got to make application for a license. And when it's reviewed and considered, I suppose, it comes back in 2 or 3 days, and then they're eligible to get married. They're qualified to get married. They met the demands. So they both, the preacher, and this couple are both servants of the state. So I said, the Bible hadn't got anything to do with marriage. I said, to be qualified to be married, you got the minister that performs the ceremony must come under bond by the state. And then he operates as a servant of the state. And woman is going to be married, they've got to have a license, and it comes from the state. So, you say that you don't believe that the preacher ought to marry a man, woman's living in adultery. You oughtn't to do that. But I said, maybe so and maybe not, but what if this man comes and says the state has viewed my case and qualified me and this woman, give us a marriage license, and I come to you who are bonded by the same state that give me these licenses. How can you forbid to marry them? Oh, he said, you just don't know what you're talking about. You got the law of God and the law of the state all mixed up. And he began to rail and contend. And I thought then, who are you that replies against God? You'd rather these people live in out and out adultery all their life than at least try to make them legal before the law. Well, he said, my preacher won't marry them. I wouldn't marry him by his preacher. One thing led to another. Paul put the question to them. He said, who are you? Who do you think you are that replies against God? And he demands an answer from these people. The Lord God in the sovereignty of the grace and with the glory of His Majesty issues this proclamation from the throne in heaven. And He says, as I've already read to you, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now, who are you that dares to question and reply against God? To question, you question God and His authority. You, who are you? You are a worm of the dust. You are a creature of the day. You are born like a wild ass's colt, without understanding. By nature, you're a child of wrath, dead in trespasses and in sins, blind to your own existence, a vain fool. How dare you exalt your ignorance and display your hospitality to the God of glory by opening your mouth against His ways and against His truth? You need to remember that in the Bible it says, woe unto the man that strives against his Maker. Who are you to reply against God? I talk about the sovereignty of God in the sovereign grace of election. Men says, God's unfair. God must give everybody a chance. All men are created equal. In the Constitution, maybe. But not before God. God's sovereign. He does what He will, according as it pleases Him. He shows mercy on to some, and He hardeneth others. Is what He says here, anyhow, in the book of Romans, chapter 9. He says, what if God is willing to show His wrath and to make His power known? Endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction or made up to destruction, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. Who are you? Who is a human being that dares question God and reply against God? Who is it? He ain't much. And when you think about it a little bit, you and I have absolutely nothing that we can properly call our own. Everything we got from a higher power. The only thing that you and I have got is sin. That's all we've got is sin. Nothing else. Got sin. And sin is the parent of ignorance and pride, and we got plenty of ignorance and we got plenty of pride. We are a product of the dust. And you and me and our corrupt reason replies against God and says to Him, what doest thou. We who have forfeited all rights and claims on God, and in our rebellion against God, we forfeited that right to the favor and the mercy of God. If we experience any blessing from on high, it comes from God. Whether we're saved or lost, the rain falleth upon the just as well as the unjust. There are favors that fall upon the unjust. The rain and the sunshine and so forth. I like to ask some of these folks if they thought that there was any good thing in their nature to entitle them to be an object of God's pity and God's mercy. The Bible says they're dead in trespasses and in sin. Willfully, whatever they do according to their nature. And their nature is sin. It's a principle within them that they got from Adam and Eve, who forfeited their claims upon God and believed the devil's lie that they would be gods. Sin is this principle inside. This act of sin outwardly is the effect and the result of our condition before God, that we are sinners. Sin is in us. That's all we've got. And it's all of our own. And we have no title. We have no title to the mercy of God. And if we experience the mercy of God and the favor of God, it's because of the sovereignty of His grace. What if God is willing to show His wrath and to make His power known? Endures with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Who are you, O man, that repliest against God? Paul said, I want an answer from you. I want an answer. Who art thou, O man, that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed? You are from the dirt. You're living dust is all you are. Just living dust. God formed you. Who are you to call into question and said, What are you doing? Why are you doing this? You reply, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Why? You're just a man. Living dust, a piece of clay, little breathing dust is all you are. A contemptible worm. You can argue with your neighbors if you want to. You can take up matters with the government if you want to. You can question the president if you want to. You can lord it over your family if you want to and make certain demands, but you can't argue with me. You can't reply against me. You can't tell me what to do and what to do. I formed you. I formed you. I made you a vessel of destruction or a vessel of life and light? Can't reply against me. Who are you? Paul said. You answer me this question. Who are you? You reply against God. Do you know God what He can do and what He can't do? Can't do it, can you? How dare you call into account your Maker and question Him and dispute Him? Shall the thing form say to Him that formed it, why have you made me like I am? Verse 21, he says, has not the potter, that's God, power over the clay? Of the same lump, the lump of clay as a whole, of that same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. Who are you that replies against God? Oh, blessed be the name of God, that He hath made known to you and I this morning and in days gone by the nothingness of ourselves, and that we have no claim on God except the Lord Jesus Christ, which entitles us to the claim. What if God is willing to show His wrath? What if He makes His power known, endured with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that He might make known the vessels or the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy? Then up here he says in the 10th verse of this same chapter, 11th verse, 10th verse, not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children, not being yet born, Isaac and Jacob, still in her mother's womb. That's what that means when it says, for the children being not yet born. They were still in their mother's womb, neither having done any good or evil, that's in their mother's womb. That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Not of works. You remember over there in the book of 2 Timothy where it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved. That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, Rebekah, the elder, the oldest, shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God wrong in doing this? says, God forbid. Why? Because he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. This is the reason why I put you in Egypt, caused you to be born down there in the lap of luxury, and made you the potentate of all the land. That's the reason I've raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy. He'll have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and he'll harden it whom he will harden. What do you have to say about this? What's your reply? Well, by nature, all of us said, well, I didn't think God was like that. That's not my God. But this is the way the true and the living God is. God is sovereign in his grace. Sovereign, you can't make him give you grace. If he gives you grace to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if he does that, that'd be a wonderful thing. But you cannot make him do it. Can't make him do it. Who art thou, O man, that replies against God? Oh, bless the name of God Almighty, that has given us favor with him according to his good pleasure. He's given us favor. That ought to bring forth from us hallelujahs and praise unto his dear name. We sing that hymn sometimes. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. The Lord did not pass us by. Made known unto our souls the Christ of God, whom he sent to redeem his people, to meet all the requirements that the holy law of God demanded. The Lord Jesus, who is God manifest in the flesh, who is the giver of the law, as well as the fulfiller of the law, as well as bearing the curse of the broken law in our place, in our stead, in our room. That's favor. That's the favor of God. God gave us favor in Christ before the world ever was. We who are nothing but breathing dust, dead in trespasses and in sin, hath he quickened because we found favor with him according to his good pleasure. Before, we've got nothing to... It renders us hopeless and helpless in light of any goodness that we could bestow upon ourselves or find any reason whatsoever in ourselves that God would choose us. God would grant us favor. We're nothing. Come from nothing. Come from dirt. Flesh and blood. Going back into the dust. No claims on God whatsoever. Entitled to nothing, but we gained favor. He showed favor to and in His sovereign grace put us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because we were better than someone else. For the most part, we were worse than everybody else. But He showed us favor. He hath He mercy on whom He will have mercy. Aren't you glad this morning that God had mercy on you? You never deserved mercy. You didn't have any money to buy mercy if it was up for sale. Because you're penniless. You owed 18 pounds and you didn't have a penny to pay. But God showed mercy. Because it pleased Him to show mercy. And He showed mercy. And he wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He showed mercy. Put your name down there. Preserved you. And here in time, He sent someone along to tell you the good news of the gospel. And when you heard that good news, God give you ears to hear it and made you willing in the day of His power to bow before in your heart and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ for showing you mercy. All of God according to His good pleasure. Who art thou that repliest against God? Who are we to question God, to look up into the face of heaven and say, why did this happen or why did that happen? Who are you to reply against God? Well, the Lord bless us and help us.